Would you like to have general success in life? Anybody? Maybe? Yeah, maybe a house, a job, food, good relationships, maybe avoid some health issues. Have a good relationship with God. Right? We all do. That's a no-brainer type question. We all want those things in life, and maybe that general success out of life. Well, if God, the all-knowing creator of the world, who made us and made all things, if he inspired somebody to write down what we could do to make that happen, well, we should listen, right? Of course we want to listen to that. Well, Proverbs is a book given by God that tells us what to do and what not to do to be successful in life. Let's turn over to Proverbs 1. We're going to go through a lot of Proverbs today, so you can just stay in Proverbs. I'll go to some other scriptures, but maybe I'll just read those, and you can stay in Proverbs and be there when we get back to Proverbs. Proverbs 1:1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity." Then it says something here in verse 4. It says, "To give prudence to the simple." I would put myself into that category. It says, "To the young man, knowledge and discretion." So this is written specifically to a young man, but it certainly applies to young people in general, starting life. And anyone, really, can use this advice. It says, "To the young man, knowledge and discretion." And then go down to verse 33. It says, "For the turning away of the simple," turning away of these words, "will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." And says, "But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." So it's saying, listen to these words. Listen to these words. Today we're going to look at three do's and three don'ts in Proverbs. And if we follow them, it will impact our life in a very positive way. They're very simple, but living them can be difficult. And I'll say some apply to you and some don't. Okay? Some of us have different issues in life or struggles, so some apply and some don't to you specifically. But some we can certainly all look at and learn from and maybe apply them to others in our lives. We have a sphere of influence and maybe help others who are in our lives who do deal with these things. There's also much to say about each of these points. We're going to just do an overview of them. Any of them could be, you can dive into each one of them much more to find out more information on them. But these do's and don'ts, when we read through Proverbs, if you were in the Bible reading program a couple weeks ago, these ideas repeat over and over. There's multiple scriptures through Proverbs that say each one of these that we're going to go over and repeat the same idea. So we're going to start with the don'ts today. We'll start with the don'ts. So don't number one is stay away from debt. Stay away from debt. I read an article doing some research for this. It was called, "Is the Bible the Ultimate Financial Guide?" It was written by Cheryl Nance. And it has a quote in there. It says, "The writers of the Bible anticipated the problems we would have with money and possessions." There are more than 2,000 references to money in the Bible. Jesus Christ himself spoke about money and potential issues with money and debt. So let's look at a proverb about this in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 1. Proverbs 6, verse 1, it says, "My son, if you become a surety for your friend," surety is saying you will accept their debt. And in this case, it's something you shouldn't, that this person you should not have done. You can't afford it. You shouldn't take on this debt. It says, "If you become a surety for a friend, you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger." It says, "You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth." And then it says, "So do this," right? Remember we're saying these are words of wisdom from God, saying if you're in this situation, do this. So this is what it says. "Do this, my son, and deliver yourself." In verse 4 it says, this is what it says to do. "Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler." A gazelle from the hand of the hunter. Has anybody ever seen a nature show or Discovery with gazelles in it? Out there in the grass, right, in the savannah, in the plains. They're out there. Well, it's TV, right? Who's out there with the gazelle? What was that? Lions? Anything else? Something else? Other things, right? Lions. The hunter is out there. The cheetah, the leopard, whatever it is. The gazelles aren't just standing out there eating, right? That'd be a boring show. So it says, deliver yourself like the gazelle from the hunter. And you know what they do? They run, right? They run for their life because their life depends on it to get away from that hunter. And Proverbs is saying we should do the same thing. Get away from it. I got some information online. This is from nerdwallet.com. It says about debt in the United States. It says the average household debt in the United States is $6,800 on credit cards, $27,000 in car loans, $32,000 in student loans for one person. So that's $66,000 in debt, not even including a mortgage, and with only one person who has student loans. So, and how that can snare us, and it does snare us. I went to a loan calculator, put in those numbers. I put in $32,000, that's a college loan, which some of us have more than that or less. They're usually over 20 years to pay those off at 5%. Our payment on that is almost $51,000 to pay off that loan, that $32,000 loan. In this same calculator, it had mortgages. I put in $200,000 for a mortgage. 30 years is what many people are in at 4%, which is lower than a lot of us have. The payoff of that is $350,000 on that $200,000 debt. And in that calculator, it said something that caught my eye. It said, estimate how much you can afford. Estimate how much you can afford. And it just wanted you to put in your numbers on how much payment you could make every month to debt. And we get snared by this. The entire country works on this system. Let's turn over to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." It's a very common scripture, but saying that we're a slave to the lender. And we are. We're in a... This country is set up, the entire system, how we live, is set up that we'll be constantly paying debt our entire life. We've been conditioned to think that it's good. It's not exactly what Proverbs says or the Bible in general. I'm going to read from Matthew 6:24. You don't need to turn there. This is Jesus Christ. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either He will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Another scripture I'll point out, you can write this down, is Romans 12:1. It has a lot of, it applies here. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. How things work, and look at what's right and what God says that we should do. I'm going to give a personal recommendation, a tool if you need help. That example that I gave about the gazelle, that came from Dave Ramsey's plan, Financial Peace University. It's a tool or a program that really anyone can use if debt is an issue in your life. It can really help turn your life around, and I would recommend it. I'm sure there's other programs out there as well. But the don't number one from Proverbs was stay away from debt. All right, don't number two. Don't number two is don't get into inappropriate relationships. In Proverbs here, my heading says the crafty harlot is what it says. But let's turn over to Proverbs 5, verse 1. And read about this. And again, we're going over things that Proverbs says and repeats over and over to say you'll have a good life if you follow these things. Proverbs 5 and verse 1 says, my son, pay attention. Pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, saying, listen to me on this. That you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death and her steps lay hold of hell. It goes on to say, lest you ponder her path of life. Her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now. It says, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way from her, and do not go near the door of her house. And it says some things that can happen. It says, lest you give your honor to others, your respect. Give your respect to others. You'll lose that. It says, and your years to the cruel one. So years, it says, your life will be less because of this. And aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. It says that, and you mourn at last when your flesh and body are consumed. Talking about even effects on your body. And say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined my ears to those who instruct me. I was on the verge of total ruin, ruining somebody's life by not following these words. I want to read Proverbs 7:24. It kind of repeats the same thing. Just to give some emphasis here, and these are, it's repeated multiple times throughout Proverbs. Proverbs 7:24 says, Listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. And all who were slain by her were strong men. It says strong people can be influenced by this. Her house is the way to hell, descending into the chambers of death. Now, I'd like you to think about this when this was written, right? You had to leave your house, maybe go into town, find certain places where these situations took place, these temptations were. And it's not the way that way anymore. We can find that right here on our phone, on the same thing we read the Bible on the same screen has these things that we're reading about. I've got some numbers here. It's a serious topic. It's uncomfortable, but again, it's in Proverbs and it's there that we need to read it. This is from CovenantEyes.com, some data. It says at least 30% of all data transferred across the internet is estimated to be porn-related. Porn sites receive more regular traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. 1 in 5 mobile searches are for pornography. And this was an interesting fact. It says 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women say they watch porn at least once a month. So it's a problem. It's a problem. It's a problem that's really addressed in Proverbs here. It's a harmful problem. Something else I also noticed when doing some of this research, there was a comment there about TV. So we've all, maybe I'd say a lot of people have seen an R-rated movie, right? And you might say, well, I'd never watch anything worse than that. That wouldn't be right. Well, here's something to consider. TVMA can be the equivalent to NC-17. And it gave a list of very popular shows. I'm not going to give their names. You would recognize them. That are on Netflix, Amazon, and HBO that could not be shown in a movie theater because of the sexual content is too much for R-rated. And it's in our houses. It's on our TV. And I'm not here telling you what shows to watch or what ratings to watch. Things are rated for different reasons. I'm just giving you some information, something to consider, because it's a problem, and Proverbs says, God says, not to get caught up in it. And it is harmful. I'm not going to go into detail, but if you want to research it, you can look up the harmful effects of these things, and it's easy to find. There's relationship issues, mental health issues, a lot of issues that come up from this problem. And does it really matter? I mean, are we even talking about the same thing that was discussed in Proverbs? I'm going to read Matthew 5:27. You don't need to turn there. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. I'll just leave it at that. So it is an issue. It is an issue. Proverbs saying, don't engage in these things. It can ruin your life. It can ruin your life. It certainly will not lead to good things in life. If you need more resources on this topic, you can go to ucg.org. And do a search, you can find a lot of information right there. All right, the third don't. It's another serious topic. Third don't we find in Proverbs. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse 3. It says, do not give your strength to women. And then it says, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. That which destroys kings. Verse 4, it says, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Let's turn over to Proverbs 23. This idea is repeated throughout Proverbs because it's important. Proverbs 23, verse 19. Again, it says, hear, my son, hear and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. So do not mix with wine bibblers or gluttons, eaters of meat. It says, for the drunkards and the glutton will come to poverty. And drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Talking about what this can do to your life. And we all know people, I'm not even going to ask for hands if somebody knows somebody who's dealt with this, because everyone in this room knows somebody who has difficult with these things. It's a terrible plague on our society. I have family members whose close family members, their lives were ruined because of this. People that should have been part of my life and weren't. And it was stemming from this issue. You can continue reading in Proverbs 23 and verse 29. And it speaks about some of the issues and what this can do to your life. Proverbs 23, verse 29, it says, who has a woe? Who has a sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has the redness of eyes? It says, those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. And it goes on to give more details on to avoid that. Stay away from it. The problems that are associated with it. I looked up some data. This is the National Institute of Health. It's NIH.gov about this topic. And it explained alcohol use disorder in the United States, which is basically described as a brain disease characterized by an impaired ability to stop or control alcohol use despite adverse social, occupational, or health consequences. Right? It's a being addicted to alcohol. So just some numbers. It says adults over 18, there are 14.4 million adults in the United States who have this, who are addicted to alcohol. An estimated 88,000 people die from alcohol-related causes annually, making alcohol the third leading preventable cause of death in the United States. It costs the United States over $250 billion a year dealing with this problem. It said more than 10% of U.S. children live with a parent with alcohol problems. So it's a serious problem. It's a serious problem in this country. And something to be very cautious about getting caught up into those problems. Especially if you're young and starting your life out, it can really throw your life off track a way you don't want it to go. So if this is an issue or you know somebody who this is an issue for, ask God for help with it. Ask God for help. Get anointed. Talk to the pastor. If you need help with this, you can do Google searches as well for alcoholism near me and get a list of resources as well. So it's a serious problem. It's a don't listed over and over in Proverbs, one that we should all listen to. Again, simple, but still can be difficult to follow at times. All right, getting on to the do's here. The first do is have a plan. Have a plan. Let's turn over to Proverbs 21. Again, we're talking about things that Proverbs says to help us have a successful life. Proverbs 21, verse 5, it says, the plans of the diligent, somebody who sticks with it, leads surely to plenty. But those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. So plans are important. There was a quote I saw from Dwight Eisenhower, a general at the time. He said, plans are nothing. Planning is everything. Planning is everything to make your goals happen. We have to work hard to make our plans a reality, which is emphasized in Proverbs as well, just part of that planning process. I'll turn over to Proverbs 14:23. It says, in all labor there is profit, But idle chatter leads only to poverty. I'm talking about labor and work to get things done. And plans are hard to achieve. We all have plans in life. There's things we'd like to accomplish. And Proverbs is saying, stick with those. Work on them. Make a plan and work hard to get them accomplished. We live in a very can't-do society sometimes. I was born in the wrong neighborhood. I don't have money. You have to have some special knowledge. Whatever it is, that there's this ideas out there that we can't achieve things. We can't achieve plans in our lives or those goals in our lives. But Proverbs says over and over to make plans and follow through with them and achieve those goals. Proverbs 28, verse 19. It says, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. So again, talking about having a plan, working, and achieving the goals that you set out for. And these can be spiritual plans as well, right? I'll just read Galatians 6, verse 9, talking about this as well. Having a plan, a goal, and working towards it. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Talking about following through on the plans. I read an article on greatminds.com. It was called Understanding Why Planning is Important for Success. It says, many may view planning as a bore, and it may seem like an inconvenient step. However, at its core, planning can prove to be of great help to everyone. Without proper planning, we see the usual symptoms of sliding back into our normal, mundane schedule of life, right? Nothing changes. Planning gives us a clear perspective on what needs to be done, what goals are to be achieved, and what amount of time is to be or will be spent completing those goals. I saw another quote. This is from Stephen Covey. Said, make time for planning. Wars are won in the general's tent. Right? Wars are won in the general's tent, making the plan before the action even takes place. So you could do this by just putting, pen to paper, right? Writing down some goals and what you want to achieve, whether they be there's physical goals that are okay, and certainly spiritual goals that are important as well. Maybe it's reading the Bible in a year and getting with the Bible program. How are you going to get that done? But break it down, start planning. How are you going to achieve those goals, whatever they might be? And don't forget clearly to ask God for help in your plans. You want your plans to align with God, right? And His plan for you as well. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says something very important about this when we make plans in our life. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So something to consider and remember. I'm going to read Matthew 7. You don't need to turn there. About plans that you might have and asking God for help. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? And we do have a loving Father who wants to help us in our lives, and we should go to Him. We should continually go to Him asking for guidance in our lives. So the do number one was have a plan and work hard to achieve it. Do number two is find wisdom. Find wisdom. Now you might say the whole book of Proverbs is about wisdom and finding wisdom. I'm putting it as a separate point, and I think we'll go through this to see why. It's also repeated over and over in Proverbs saying, do this, find wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 13. Remember, we were talking about this as a guide to have a successful life or good things in life and how to put yourself on that path. Proverbs 3, verse 13. It says, happy is the man. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. And she is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left is riches and honor. And that wisdom can help you in your life. It says her ways are of pleasantness, and her paths are of peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Life is full of challenges. Difficult things come up. Just in normal life, we have career challenges, school challenges, people challenges, church. There's challenges at church. There's all kinds of challenges, issues, and situations that come up in life. Proverbs is saying if you get wisdom, you can deal with some of these things better in life as they come along, because we're all going to face them. And life will be better for you if you have wisdom. Proverbs 16:16, just read that here. It says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Something very important. So I'll just throw out there, where do we get wisdom? What is a source of wisdom? Anybody? The Bible. Excellent. Excellent answer. Anything else? From God? Praying to God? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit working in us? Anything else? Wisdom? What's that? Elders? Yeah, whether that be in the church or in life, right? Grandparents, people who have been through things? Definitely. There are people who are wise and have wisdom that we don't in whatever situation we're in. Anything else? School of hard knocks. School of hard knocks. Be better to... That is an option, right? That's an option. But if you follow some of these things in Proverbs, hopefully you don't have to go through some of those hard knocks. You can get wisdom ahead of time, maybe from somebody who did go through those things the hard way and learn from them. So yeah, maybe books. There's books besides the Bible that have wisdom. But certainly the Bible is a great example, and people who are in different situations than you. If you want to be a registered nurse, maybe I have some information for you. If you want to run a business, you shouldn't come ask me for advice, right? You should go to somebody with wisdom who's done that and can help you. That's where the wisdom's found. And these rooms, this room here has a whole variety of wisdom for whatever situation you're in or trying to get yourself into in the future. There's resources right here in this room. Look for them and find that wisdom. It can help you in life. And that's what Proverbs is saying. Turn over to Proverbs 1 again. Proverbs 1 verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Talking about gaining wisdom. It says, a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Just what we were talking about. It says, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and the riddles. And then it says something, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, of that wisdom. And it was pointed out, the Bible, right? Asking God for wisdom as well. And we want that true wisdom. John 17:17 says that God's word is truth. God's word is truth. That's where the wisdom is. So Proverbs repeats this. Get wisdom and it will help you in your life. It'll help bring happiness in your life. So think of those ways where you can attain wisdom and work on getting that into your life and applying it. All right, do number three. This might be the most difficult, but I would say probably the most important thing to do that's repeated over and over in Proverbs. And that is trust in God and not in your own strength. Let's turn over to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 1. It says, my son, do not forget my law. It says, don't forget this. It says, but let your heart keep my commands. And then it goes to say something about it, about doing these things. It says, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Things we all want. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and a high esteem in the sight of God and man. And verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. We talked about trying to find wisdom. But don't let that get to your head. God is still in charge. He can help us more than anyone. It says, fear the Lord and depart evil. And then it says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. And this is what really leads to life, to a good life. And some things we do are difficult to understand. They don't make sense, right? Like tithing. Tithing was mentioned here. It just doesn't make sense to pull 20% out of your check and save that or give it away. And that's going to help us? It doesn't make sense, right? God says it does. Not working on the Sabbath. There's a lot of instances that doesn't make sense to us in what we think is going to help our future. God's law versus what we want, right? There's a lot of things out there that God says to stay away from and that people like to do. In the sermonette, it was brought out from Isaiah. It said, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in these things. I'm going to read Malachi 3:10, speaking kind of on the tithing and to do it, and how some of these things don't make sense. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then it says, and try me now in this. And we've read this in the youth lessons. Often, it says, try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be not be room enough to receive it. So God's saying, do this. Trust him, follow his ways, and our life will be better, even when it doesn't make sense. Let's go to Proverbs 19, verse 23. One more. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. And we're talking about our life, our physical life and our spiritual life. We have a God who wants us to not live now only, but in for eternity. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. So trust in God, not on our own strength. It seems so simple. It's so simple to say, but it's something that we need to remind ourselves of. It's something that can be very hard and challenging. But we do have a great God that loves us. He sets up some rules to help us, and he wants us to have a good life. Not just now, physically, but eternally. Eternally, which is we have to keep our eye on. Now, as we are going through these things, I am not discrediting the hard problems that come up in your life and my life. You know, time and chance happens. Sicknesses happen. People hurt us. Sometimes there are things in this life that affect us, and we do not have any control over them. And I would never discredit that, and there are hard things that happen. But these three do's and don'ts that we've gone through in Proverbs can bring an overall success or good to our lives. They're very simple, and they're repeated over and over in Proverbs for a reason, because they're important. The vast majority of people struggle with them. I'll say everybody probably struggles with some of them, if not most of them. There's more to learn from Proverbs, and the entirety of God's word certainly backs these things up. But these do's and don'ts: stay away from debt, avoiding inappropriate relationships, don't misuse alcohol. And then the do's: have a plan, find wisdom, and trust in God, not our own strength, will bring success to anyone's life. And something to consider, especially if you're starting life out, we have several young people here. Look at those. It can help you. There's much more to say about each of these. Each one of these can be a study. But wherever you struggle, look into it, address it. These are do's and don'ts given to us by our great God. Things that if we follow, they will lead to personal success and an improved relationship with our God.